Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to join me today. I want to talk about the theme of Dare to Believe. This is going to be all about faith. Dare to believe. Let me share with you a scripture from Exodus 34. The Lord descended in a cloud, and he stood with Moses and proclaimed his name to Moses. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and kindness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to invite you to dare to believe. There are many words for God or terms or names for God that people have given and that I have heard. One, of course, is God goes by the title of Almighty God. That's kind of a generic term. And there are other words like God is my higher power. And some people say, and I hate this term, but some people say God is the man upstairs. And other people call on God as Jehovah or Yahweh or different terms like that. But I love the way that Jesus spoke about God. Jesus spoke about God as being Abba. That's an Aramaic word I've studied over in Jerusalem. And even now the young children will walk with their father holding onto their hand and say, Abba, Abba. And it's an Aramaic word that means daddy or papa or father. So the word that Jesus used for God was a word not so much that God was masculine, father or daddy, but it's a term of endearment, which means that it's a term of familiarity. It's a term meaning that he knows God in a personal, deep way. And when I ask you to dare to believe, what I mean by that is I want you to believe not just that God is, but rather that you can have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with God. Belief is all over the place in the Bible. If we look at the word faith or belief, especially in the Gospel of John, we hear about faith all the time, really everywhere. It's everywhere present. In fact, the scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in other words, you've got to have faith in God in order to please him, and you must believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And so we see that Jesus couldn't do many miracles if people didn't believe. We saw that he was pleased by faith when people did believe in him. He marveled at the centurion that had such faith and said, you know, I haven't found such faith in Israel. And then if we look at our church is very interested in faith, our church being the community of believers. I'm a Roman Catholic priest, especially our Catholic church. And we talk about in the catechism, for example, the catechism is divided into four main sections. And the first whole section is all about what we believe, our faith. And it spells it out in all kinds of details. And when it talks about faith, it means two things. Our personal adherence to God. We believe in God. We trust in God. We have faith in God. And the second thing is it has to do with the doctrine, the beliefs of our church, like scripture, the infallibility of the Pope, tradition, all those kind of things. That's part of our faith. So when we talk about faith, we talk about these types of things. And I wanted you to let you know that in our liturgy, there are some changes coming about in the Mass. For example, the greeting, the penitential rite, the Gloria, the Eucharistic prayer, we are all changing some of those words. And if you know anything about the Nicene Creed, there's going to be a slight change in that also. We're going from we believe in one God, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, to I believe in one God. So we're going to go from we believe to I believe. We're not saying that community doesn't matter. Rather, the stress now is about something that's intensely personal. It's about a personal relationship with God. It's about what I believe, and it's about what you believe. So I want to talk about faith, and I want to tell you that faith is always faith in God. It's not just faith. It's faith in God. It's also faith in what we believe as doctrine and things like that. But I expressly want to talk about faith in God. And I want to tell you that faith or belief is an intensely personal gift, and it is a gift. It's something that God gives. Maybe you're tuning into the program and you're saying, well, I don't know what I believe. I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if God exists. Look at the wars and the famines and the global warming that's in the world today. You know, if there's a good God, how can there be all this? And maybe you're struggling with faith. Well, I want to tell you that faith is a gift. Ask God for it. He will give it to you. It will grow. Jesus said it's like a mustard seed. A mustard seed is something really, 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 really tiny. And it just starts there, but then it grows and blossoms and can become everything that you are. It will change your life. Faith will totally change you. Belief will change you. And it starts off as a little mustard seed of faith that God is, and it turns into something very personal and powerful. And I'll explain that as I go on. But I'm praying that my program will help you come to faith. I'm praying that the scriptures, as you read them, will help you come to faith. I'm praying that when you pray on your own, you'll come to faith. Because that's what happened in my life. When I was 18 years old, I had been born and brought up Catholic, but you know, I was really struggling. I hoped there was a God. I believed in, quote, in God. But I had a real teeny, itsy-bitsy mustard seed of faith. It was real little. It was in me, but it was really small. And so what I did was, as I came to the scriptures, as I started to read the Bible, Billy Graham said something really powerful. He said, you know, when you read the Gospels, there's inbuilt power in the Bible. I mean, there's this power that comes forth. It's the inspired word of God to change lives. And so as I began to read the Bible evokes faith. It inspires faith. It brings faith. And I started growing in my faith. And then as I started praying on my own, faith started to well up within me. I started to believe. First of all, just simply to believe that God was, that God is. And that's what a lot of people tell me. Father, you know, I believe that God is. Well, yeah. The scripture says that the demons believe that God is too, and they tremble. So we got to move beyond believing just that God is. But that's where we start. And that's exactly where I started. As I started praying and reading the scriptures, in the midst of a world of turmoil, in the midst of a world that it seems like God isn't there, the seeming absence of God, I believed. I believe that God is, that He exists. I don't understand everything, but I simply believed. And so I'm inviting you right now to dare to believe. Most of you that watch my program, of course you believe. You believe in God. But I'm going to take you further. But for those of some of you that you aren't sure, maybe you define yourself as being agnostic or an atheist, or you're not quite sure if God exists or not, or you never really did believe or grow up in a religious home, I just dare. I dare you to believe. And watch what will happen in your life. As Jesus taught, it starts as something very, 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 very small. Just the inclination, the want to, the desire to believe, and then watch what will happen. God will give you that gift, and it will consume your life, and it will become all that you are. It will alter your eternal destiny. See, it's through faith that we're saved. It's by faith that we come to a relationship with God. It's through believing that we're born again. It's amazing what God will do through faith. This is the new covenant. He said, my just people will live by faith. This is the prophecy of Habakkuk. that was quoted in the New Testament. So in other words, God doesn't even require for us to be perfect. He knows that we're not going to be all loving. He knows that we're not going to have it all together and to have virtue. So what does he want from us? What does he require? Belief. Belief in God. So the first place to begin is an inner assent, a confidence, an assurance, first of all, that God exists. And then you move from believing that God is to, watch this, to something much deeper. I want you to believe in God, but let me ask you a question. What do you believe about God? What do I mean by that? Well, we just had that beautiful reading about who God is. You know, most people say, as I said, I believe in God Almighty, or I believe in my higher power, or I believe in the man upstairs, or I believe there's something out there somewhere. I've heard God referred to as a sugar daddy or something like that. But listen to how God revealed himself to Moses. See, we don't just believe in God, we believe who God is. See, true faith believes that he exists, but then faith comes to know God like Jesus did in a personal way. Listen to how God revealed himself to Moses. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So maybe you grew up in a very strict, harsh, black and white religion, and it could be Catholicism, it could be Protestantism, it could be any type of faith. And your vision of God is that God is harsh and mean and kind of out to get you. And if you break any of the rules or the laws, then he's going to be mad at you and he's going to throw you into the pit of hell. Well, I want to tell you that God is just. There will be a judgment. He does have standards. He does invite us to live his will. But more than anything, this is what I have encountered, that God is gracious. Gracious. God is a person. He's not just a higher power. And he's not just almighty. Yes, he has all the power. But when you move through the stages of faith, you come from believing that he is to believing in who he is. And this is something that Jesus came to bring us, a personal relationship with God. And as I have come to faith, My initial step, the little mustard seed, was, yeah, I believe that God is. I dare to believe. Even though it doesn't look like it or seem like it sometimes with all the evil in the world, I dare to believe. And then I had this awakening to who God was, gracious and merciful and forgiving and abounding in love and faithful. See, God is a good God. And that's what you have to believe about God. When you come to faith, you have to not just believe in God, as I've said, you have to believe that he's a good God. And as I said, Jesus talked about God as being Abba, Daddy, Papa. And that's that that beautiful relationship that he had with God. So in other words, God isn't just out there somewhere, hopefully. He's a God that wants and invites us into relationship with him. And I am so thankful for one of the greatest gifts that I ever received. And it was the gift of my earthly father. My earthly father was a man, you know, and I don't want to romanticize him or aggrandize him. He was gracious. He was not moody up and down. He was very stable, very kind to me, a good friend, and very, very supportive. And I say that I'm grateful for the gift of my earthly father, who passed away 11 years ago, because he gave me an image of God just by his being, by his fatherness, by his fatherly way toward me, by the way he treated me, by the way he raised me. And this gave me this wonderful image. And I don't think you have to have a good father to be able to come into an image of God as father, but it helps. And let me share, you know, what happened to me. For example, my dad would always, he would always encourage me. When I took up golf, for example, he supported me in that. He didn't play golf himself, but he supported me. I remember I came home one time, I looked against the wall. There were all these clubs lined up. He bought me a whole set of brand new clubs. And I thought, wow, you know, how generous my dad is to me. Then when I went to college, my dad had never gone to college. He was a carpenter. You know, he worked hard for my two older sisters and myself, but he never attended college, but he supported me going through college and paid for most of my college. And he wanted the best for me, even though I didn't choose to be a carpenter. He didn't mind that. He just wanted the best for my life. And then I remember when I got into ministry and I became a priest, he supported me all the way. We weren't a very religious family growing up, but we became more and more religious as I felt this call to priesthood. The whole family became religious. It was beautiful. And I remember when I started writing books and selling books, my dad was right there at the table selling them, supporting me, encouraging me. And see, when I look at my earthly dad, it helped me to gain a relationship with my heavenly father because I see the qualities that my dad had and I just apply them toward God. So my dad was one of the best ways of getting an image of God that I had and helped me to come into this relationship with a God who is gracious and merciful and faithful and good. And this, all over the place in the Bible, is how God reveals himself. And I'm trying just through an earthly means, trying to describe to you the way that God is to you. Maybe you think God's mad at you or upset at you or angry at you. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. But I doubt it. I mean, he is so in love with you and he so cares about you. He's your father. He's the one that you can always call to. He's the one that created you. So I want you to dare to believe not just that God is, but who he is and how gracious he is to you and that he has a plan for your life. You see, what I discovered, just like my dad, my earthly dad wanted the best for me. He wanted me to realize my potential. He wanted me to produce with my life and to be a blessing to other people. In other words, God has a plan for your life. This is everywhere in the Bible. He predestined us. He created us as a masterpiece, the Bible said. And in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So in other words, he has a plan for your welfare, not your woe. He wants you to be blessed, not cursed. He wants you to come to the fullness of your destiny, of course, in heaven, but also on earth. And he wants good things for you, blessings for you. Now, I'm a Catholic priest. One of the things that I do as a priest all the time is I bless people. This is an endowment of grace that comes through a priest to a person. And the reason why I bless people, you know, in the sign of the cross or pray over people is because I know that God is a God of blessing. What that means is favor and power and grace and good things. See, that's what God wants for our life. God is always offering covenants to us. Abraham, Noah, in the Old Testament, all kinds of different people, the new covenant in the Lord Jesus. God takes the initiative because he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be favored. So that's who God is. I want you to dare to believe that God is, for some of you, you're struggling with that. Dare to believe and watch what happens. Others of you are struggling with who God is. I want you to dare to believe that God is gracious, that he wants to let the blessing of Aaron, he wants to let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and bless you. Trust that for now. Even if you're struggling, trust in who God is. Dare to believe that he's a good God. And then I want you to dare to believe, not only that God is, and he is, and even the demons tremble. And not only that God is gracious, and oh, how good God is. God is a good God all the time. Well, I want you to believe in what God can do. God can do all things. Remember the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and told Mary that she was going to have a son. Mary said, I don't even know a man. How am I going to have a son? And the angel Gabriel says, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. In other words, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God exists in time and beyond time. God can do all things. And we have to believe that God can do all things in your life and in my life and in the world. And I want you to trust in that. There's a story in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 18, about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's wife. Now get this. Abraham's 100 years old. It's pretty old. Sarah's 90 years old. That's pretty old. And three angels came and said to Abraham, and Sarah overheard it, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed to herself. Well, that's interesting. Why did Sarah laugh? Because she felt that that was too much. Look how old she was. And it reminds me, again, of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying that you're going to have a son because nothing is impossible with God. You know what the angel said? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord, when Sarah laughed? So sometimes, you know, when it comes to some of the situations in our life, we can laugh. Like, for example, maybe you have a spouse that's not saved or not going to church, and you're thinking, can God bring that person back to church or to salvation? And maybe inside you chuckle or you laugh. Or maybe some of your children have fallen away from the faith. Do you laugh when you think about God bringing them back? Or perhaps you're struggling with an addiction. Do you laugh when you think that God can make you recover or bring you through that addiction? Or perhaps you're struggling with a business that's going downhill or unemployment, and do you laugh when you think about God? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? He can bring you employment. He can bring your children back to the faith. He can bring your spouse to salvation. You see, what oftentimes we do is we handcuff God by our doubts, by our lack of expectancy. See, I want you to believe not just that God is and that He's a gracious God. I want you to believe that He can do everything in anything. See, that's what faith is. It's not just belief in doctrines. It's belief in the power of God. I remember one time I was going to preach a mission in a place called Fillmore, California. It's right off the coast of north of L.A. And I had to fly to L.A. and then I took a little plane out of L.A. to Oxnard, California. This is back years ago, about 15 years ago. And I'm on this little plane and we're taking off. And I had, you know, there's about five people on the plane and one of them was the pilot. And as we're taking off, all of a sudden, I got this sense that God was watching me. Nobody knew where I was. I was up here in the air over the Pacific Ocean in this little teeny plane. And I sensed that God's gracious hand was upon me. He knew as a missionary what I was doing. He had a destiny for me. And all of a sudden, a song came to my mind. Maybe you've heard it. It's called, I Believe I Can Fly. And the words are this. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. There are miracles in life that I must achieve. But first I must know that it starts in me. And I can see it, then I can do it. If I can just believe it, then there's nothing to it. And then as the plane was banking, I remember thinking, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky, spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar, running through that open door. I believe I can fly. And you know what? Ever since that time, I believed in the graciousness of God for my life. I began to fly, preaching and writing and producing for TV, realizing my destiny. And you know what? I believe you can fly. See, that's what faith is all about. It's about coming to your potential, living with passion, becoming all that you can be, flying in life. See, that's what you have to believe about God. God has a destiny for you, and He wants you to become all that you can be. See, God's not just possibly maybe out there somewhere. No, He exists. You get a personal relationship with Him. He's gracious. And then He wants to work in you and through you. I remember one time I was touring, just when I was thinking about getting on TV, I was touring a TV facility by a priest who was on TV, and he was showing me the studios and the cameras and all these different things. And I passed a little sign on a secretary's window that I'll never forget. And the sign said, to expect a miracle. And I never forgot that. And I began to believe in miracles and expect God to be gracious to me and believe in His goodness for me. And I want you to do the same. Possibly you're struggling, you know, in the midst of a world of wars, as I said, and suffering and famines and global warming and unemployment. Maybe you're struggling with, does God exist? I want you to dare to believe. And then I want you to go further. I want you to dare to believe that he's gracious. And then I want you to go further. I want you to dare to believe that he has a plan and a destiny for you, and that he has all the power, and that he will fulfill it in you. And I'm praying that my program will evoke faith in you, will spark belief in you, such that you will have experiences with God, come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and fulfill your destiny. I believe I can fly. I believe you can fly. Expect a miracle.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.